News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 29th of May, Memorial Day weekend, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting news and stuff and your phone call, so call early, call often. And we'll get to you as soon as we can. And we'll start with Dave's rant of the day. Dave has some interesting information.
Yeah, no, it's just a trend. You know, I mean, we've had our problems right here in Rochester, like with the kids over at RIT being caught. Another gentleman, matter of fact, I know at Kodak there, he got nabbed. And it just brings out to another point, this other gentleman, I'll call him, he's actually a teenager, decided he didn't like his grades.
Well, that's been going on for centuries.
Yeah. And, but, you know, it's all going to the point, folks. You know, everybody thinks they can come up with the perfect crime, pulling this or doing this, or doing it, and it's just a matter of time now with the technology out there that you're going to get caught.
You'd think with all the CSI shows on TV, people would realize that there is no perfect crime anymore, that they're going to catch you.
Well, this kid, you know, he wasn't doing that great in school and that, and wanted to bump his grades up a little bit. So he thought, okay, so he broke into the school network, changed the grades to an A, of course. You know,
duh.
So, you know, he thought, oh, great. Well, it turns out, by a strange quirk in the district, record-keeping software that manages to keep all the kids' grades in the district, all these kids, literally everybody in the district, all 18,697, were changed to scholars instead of the usual bunch of no-hopers. So, I mean, you know, here he's trying to pull out something, and it just goes to show you, you know, it's just like the viruses and everything else, you're going to get caught, and it's going to be stopped.
Right.
And, you know, it's the old adage, if you're going to do the crime, you're going to do the time. And especially now, the Internet, trying to, you know, go through this or go that, and you think, oh, well, they can't trace me. Yes, they can.
So now instead
it might take a little bit longer, but they can track you down.
So now instead of getting a low grade, the kid was probably expelled and won't graduate.
Most likely, yeah.
Most, you know, likely.
It's all this stupidity. Well, yeah, they can do this and do that. But yeah, and they'll get caught. You know, I mean, it's just a matter of time. And now with the computer, you know, even folks thinking that they're wiping things out, unless you really know what you're doing, the forensic stuff that's out there now would baffle your mind on what they can unscramble.
We used to joke that the only way to securely erase your hard drive was with a 30-ton press.
Yeah.
But even that's not so safe anymore.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, folks, if you, you know, think you're going to get away with it, don't bother, because it's just a timing issue.
Right. And the real interesting part is that so many kids think, oh, I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not what you think. It's what the law thinks.
Yeah. Well, it's just like with, you know, we hear so much fraud going on with, right now, with banking.
Right.
I mean, they uncovered, you know, a big scam here in Rochester where identities were being stolen and credit cards. As a matter of fact, I've got a very close friend. She's had a number of her accounts attacked.
Right.
And it's people over in Ohio.
Right.
That are, you know, this, because this list was passed out. And once they get that list, it might disappear for a little while, but it could pop back up again.
There was an interesting series on the History Channel called Wild West Tech, hosted by Robert Carradine. And they talked about crime in the Old West, and it used to be it would take months for, you know, notice of a crime to make it to the next city down.
Right.
The invention of the telegraph was the real stopping point in crime. So now, with all the bank robberies, you could wire ahead to the next town and say there's a string of bank robbers coming your way, and they were ready for them.
Yep.
So it used to be the huge, vast space of the country protected you. And now, especially...
Well, it didn't even have to be vast space. It used to be you could rob this town, ride a day to the next town, and nobody knew you, nobody knew anything about you, nobody even knew that the town next door had been robbed.
And now with the internet, it's gotten to be the entire world is only a second away, and that's when there's a lot of traffic on the network.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to go to the phones, and our first caller is Henry from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Hi. I've had a problem. I wanted to switch from Windows ME to Windows XP.
Right, which is a good idea, by the way.
Good idea, definitely.
Yep.
So, but I've been having problems with ME and getting a lot of blue screens. So before I did the switchover, I figured I would reinstall ME to try to get it running right so that when I did the upgrade to XP, it wouldn't turn to a blue screen while I was in the middle of an XP upgrade.
Right.
Okay, so I started doing that, and the ME was installing, and then sure enough, I got a blue screen. And just at the point where it's installing the device drivers and doing a hardware check. So I kept trying to follow the instructions and, you know, turned off the machine and restarted it up again, let the reinstall continue. But it kept stalling at the same point.
Henry, one suggestion. Do you have anything on this machine that you really...
Are you there?
Yeah, I lost it for a moment.
All right. Is there anything really on this machine that you need to save? Or have you backed it all up?
I have a lot of programs installed, and I don't want to have to reinstall them again.
That's always the problem.
What you were thinking of was I would just do a fresh XP install.
Right. Upgrades always introduce their own little types of problems, especially if you've been upgrading along the way from several operating systems in the past.
Yeah.
And when you're having trouble with an OS already... and then try to do an upgrade, it's compounding the errors. It's better to do an install and then start fresh and not have to worry about all the upgrades.
Yeah. Because even, you know, you could install XP, even though it's an upgrade, fresh. Because what would happen is if you wipe the machine out and put the XP upgrade CD in, it would start chugging along and all of a sudden at one point would stop and say, oh, wait a minute. I need to verify that you had a previous version so I can continue this upgrade. And that's where it would have you put in the ME disk just to verify that you had a previous version.
Right.
And then it would chug along and do its thing.
You can even install into a different directory instead of the Windows directory, you know, put in the WinXP directory. And that way you don't have to erase your whole hard drive, but you still start with a fresh Windows.
And you still got to install
Still have to install. I think you're going to have to bite the bullet and reinstall software, Henry. But before you do that, we also need to check to see if there's an external problem outside of ME itself, which, of course, you don't really have to look much farther than that. But I would suggest...
The blue screen, what error message is on it?
It changes, but it's like... I wrote one of them down. I don't have it right here. It's like a VXD issue.
There's some corrupt file somewhere, and you have to find that, or it won't work.
Right. So
now that I'm in the middle of this, at this point, is there some way to stop the to go back to the ME installation I had before I started the upgrade?
Pretty unlikely at this point.
Well, if you have restore turned on.
And if you can get to the desktop.
Yeah, if you can get to the desktop in safe mode and go to, into programs, accessories, and then under system tools to a previous restore point that you know, and you can pick a date when the thing was working right.
And if you don't have that restore point, you're pretty much out of luck for that specific instance of ME.
Yeah, it looks to me, Henry, like you're really just going to have to do a reinstall. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
PCs to Macs. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. I just want to say two other things about Henry before we do any moving on. So if you're on the line, hang on. And if you aren't on the line, why not? For heaven's sake, give us a call. But in terms of Henry's problem, I just want to say that it seems to me that it may be a separate problem as well, an external problem. If it happens all the time and every time it's a different program and a different
blue
thing,
screen,
it could be a power problem or it could be a memory problem.
Yeah, I was just
now, in terms
hardware.
Of memory, yeah, exactly. And it could be a hard drive problem. But in terms of the easy things to figure out, in terms of power, if you're still listening, if you have any sort of brownout situation in your house where, you know, lights dim, the TV gets a little dim, whatever that may be, when for example, the refrigerator goes on or somebody starts a hairdryer or whatever, then you've got that's a real problem. And for less than $150, you can pick up a UPS nowadays that actually handles that situation fairly well. If it's not that, then what I might suggest is you head over to memtest86.com and download their memory tester program.
He says he's getting a lot of VXD errors.
But different ones on every boot.
Yeah, and it's been my experience. Normally, memory errors will always do OE errors. But with VXDs,
yeah, that's true.
Normally, you were headed on the right track, it's a hardware. So if you can find a program like SpinRite or a diagnostic tool that you can run on the hard drive to see.
That was the third thing I was going to say.
Because I've seen it where I've done even clean installs of Windows, and you go to run it, and then bam, you get a blue screen and a VDX error. It's because of the areas that it's trying to write to on that hard drive are bad sectors. So if this is an older machine, you know, I mean, it could be just a bad sector in the hard drive. So I first spend the time and effort on a hard drive testing, not to do the memory,
right,
but do it later, because the hard drive, it's got to go sector by sector by sector by sector. Memory is usually pretty quick, and that usually gives OE errors, whereas a hard drive will give a VXD error.
Right. But those are the kind of things, Henry, that I think you ought to check out, because it's not necessarily always how do I put this politely? It's not necessarily always what the blue screen says it is.
Yeah.
The blue screen is making a guess.
It's just the last program that was able to display a message.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's what was running when it died. Is that exactly the thing that killed it? No, not necessarily. And particularly in an operating system like Windows, where there are literally hundreds of tiny little programs running in the background, the last one that popped up gets the blue screen message, but that doesn't mean it's the one that caused the blue screen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's you need to be very careful of that, and you need to be a detective. You need to start doing some detective work. Certainly getting SpinRite, running MemTest 86.
Even starting with the tools that come in Windows, a scan disk in thorough mode.
Right.
So you don't have, you don't necessarily have to buy another program.
Right.
Start there.
Exactly right. Start there and move on. But MemTest 86 is a free download, which is why I suggested it. In fact, I just set up a system earlier this week. And I just let MemTest 86 run overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Let it do a few passes and really burn the thing in and tell me that the memory was good. I actually just upgraded memory on a laptop, and I just let it run, mm-hmm. and it was great.
Yeah, we had a machine this week exhibiting video problems, noise on the screen.
Sure.
And so we're running our video memory test. On the 54th loop, it finally gave us the error code.
Right, because it needs to heat up, and it needs to, because a lot of these things are heat-related. And they don't show up until the thing overheats. We've got some people on the line. Dave from Seneca Falls, hold on. We'll get to you after this next break, but we are going to take a quick break. Have we got news coming at the bottom of the hour? Is that what this is about? Excellent, because we have news happening, and we have the great Joan Brandenburg, who will be in to tell you all about the news, and it'll be important and exciting, and we'll be back with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Who's the most pop?
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're back to the phones. We have Dave from Seneca Falls on the line. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Gentlemen, I just bought a new laptop. I'm having difficulty. I want to make a particular URL my homepage, and the computer will not display it. When I type in the URL, it says it's going to it. The little flag goes back and forth, but the screen is blank, and it says done at the bottom. You got any ideas?
Well, a couple of things. When did you try this? Just today?
No, I've tried it. I'm trying to make this particular URL my homepage, and on my this is a brand-new laptop. On my home computer, I use this as my homepage. I have no problem. It's a financial homepage.
What browser are you using?
Internet Explorer.
Well, the first step would be to try another browser and see if it works.
Well, the first step would be to try other pages. Do they work?
I have no problem displaying other pages. It just happens to be this particular one. The URL displays up in the bar. The flag moves. The page down at the bottom, it says done, but the screen is absolutely blank.
Is it loading like a stock summary or something, things like that?
Yeah, it's Schwab. Is
probably a Java.
What is it, www.schwab.com?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're looking it up now. Of course, we're having our own internet troubles here. I don't know if you're having them, Steve,
sluggish.
But I'm having a really tough time getting things done. Yeah, there's a lot of Java. There's a lot of that was useful.
Could a settings on his Internet Explorer be set to?
Yeah, well, are you using XP?
Yes.
Does it have Service Pack 2?
It's a brand new Dell laptop.
It's got Service Pack 2.
Probably does. Yeah.
Yeah, what you've probably run into is the infamous firewall problem. Microsoft typically has taken a lot of hits in the press and from people like us for their particularly pathetic security. What they've done in Service Pack 2 is really tightened their security up.
So tight that it doesn't let anything through.
Well, yes, the problem is, here's the way security should work in a nutshell. The standard should be to deny everything, and the exception should be to allow. So what they've done with Service Pack 2 is when you log in, it denies darn near anything. So if there's Java in it or JavaScript or any sort of graphics, they all get dumped. So if you go to a site that's mostly Java or mostly JavaScript, you just see nothing. So what you need to do is go into the settings and tell it to relax the firewall settings.
Or turn the firewall settings off.
This computer actually came bundled with the McAfee Security Center, which has, you know, the privacy, the personal firewall, the the spam killer. It's all on there.
You might be running, Windows XP, though, Service Pack 2 is also running a firewall. You're trying to get through then two firewalls, the one with McAfee and the one with Microsoft.
I believe I looked at that. I don't think the Windows firewall is actually active.
Well, you better double-check because if not, it's running two firewalls. And then you might also want to check the McAfee firewall settings. They could be set too high, you know, just trying to overprotect. And check those out. But, yeah, that's where I think your issue is because Schwab being a very secure site, and like Nick said, with the Java, one of those two is blocking you from getting there. And it's going to take a little detective work. Give it a shot and let us know.
I'm sorry about the detective work, but that, in fact,
is
completely what needs to be done. So give that a try and let us know. Man, and that's happening more and more on the net. We get lots of people call up and say, well, everything just stopped working.
Yeah.
The reality is that Microsoft did it right, and they've locked the systems down. But you truly have to be aware of that and deal with it. And it's a very different way of dealing with it that most people have not.
And the average home user isn't going to know how to deal with it.
Right. It's actually a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that nobody from Microsoft will give me credit for having said they did a good thing. I understand that. But it is a good thing.
Well,
it's just a matter of learning to get used to it.
Well, I was just reading days ago about Netscape 8, that it's shutting down, XML?
Yeah.
XML code in Windows. Internet Explorer,
mm-hmm.
because Netscape is touting all these extra features and everything else, but they rolled out Netscape 8,
right,
which is a major release since 2002, and it's drawing quite a bit of fire because AOL also wanted to use Netscape, and it's messing things up that they've already had to do some patches. So if you're thinking to going to Netscape 8, I'd hold off yet.
Wait for 8.01.
Yeah, there's some other issues, and they've got to correct some other things that it could mess up other things you're doing, especially if you're on AOL.
On the other hand, of course, both Firefox and Thunderbird are phenomenal, and they're basically the same code. So
yeah.
We've got a couple more people on the line. David, high on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. You'll be next when we come back. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
When President Bush. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We have David high on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Good morning, fellas.
How's the weather up there?
It's wonderful, and I got to tell you, WHAM is coming in here strong today.
Good.
Guys, I'm already running Adware and SpyBot. I got a couple of pieces of freeway here. I'd like to just draw upon your collective wisdom. The first one is Bazooka. Any value to Bazooka?
It's a great bubble gum.
Yeah.
it's a serious question, guys.
Yeah, no.
I have not used it personally. I've not really heard anything bad about it, okay, but I haven't really heard anything that recommends me going out of my way to use it.
Gotcha. How do you guys feel about Open Office?
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, it's a great product.
I use it every day.
Will it run on Linux as well?
Absolutely. That's where it was originally. My desktop at work is a Linux box.
Okay.
And I use OpenOffice all day long. And I write stuff. I read stuff. I send out everything. Nobody has any idea I'm not on Microsoft Office.
Cool.
And I open their stuff. They open my stuff.
Most people don't know that they are on Microsoft
Office. Well,
that's
very true. That's very true. Open Office is absolutely free. It works a little differently. It's like I always say. It's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive. It's just that the radio and the lights are in a slightly different place. It takes you a few days to get used to that, and then you're done.
One other thing, though, Dave, going back to your first question, though, is, and I've seen this a lot in my business. I mean, folks are so worried, paranoid about, getting spyware off their machines. I've had some clients try 8 or 9 different spyware programs, literally all running on their machine, and it's like having too many antivirus programs. One's enough. In this case, we recommend the Adware and the SpyBot, and that gets rid of, I'll say 90% of the stuff. You might have to use an occasional tool here or there, but, you usually have to pick the path that you're going to go to do your maintenance, and if you get too many things in there, one could cancel out another, and they conflict, just like having two antivirus programs in there. They're both trying to protect the machine, do their own thing, and they can cause problems. So, too many things can be not a good thing.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate your answers. Have a good one.
You too, sir.
Have fun.
Enjoy the holiday.
Keep smiling.
We had a machine this week come in with a new variant of the VX2 spyware, and it was horrible to get out. All the standard VX2 removers weren't working. It would just keep popping
back.
Even the add-ons for Adware, yep. And we finally found it was horrible pain. We found a list of the DLLs it creates, and so you have to make fake files with the same name as the spyware so it thinks it's already infected and doesn't infect you again. Then you can get the Adware and SpyBot to fully remove it.
Sure.
But it was a horrible pain.
Right.
And so we go digging into a little bit about the program anyway, and it's a legitimate marketing program that collects marketing data that you agree to when you go to some website without knowing it.
Yep, man. Our next caller is Sue from Gainesville. Gainesville, New York, or Gainesville, Tennessee, Sue?
Gainesville, New York.
Or Florida.
Okay. Or Gainesville, Florida.
No,
sure.
Gainesville, New York. That's where you go to the end of the road, and just before it falls off, you turn left.
Yeah.
My kind of lady.
Yeah, there you go.
I turned my computer off one night, turned it back on the next morning, and instantly had all sorts of DLL errors.
Isn't that special?
It's great. I can't run Outlook. I couldn't get on the Internet, all kinds of things. And I have got it, so now I'm getting on the Internet, and things are working so-so, but there's still something not quite right. The big deal is that it keeps telling me that the MSVCP60.dll is missing. But if I search for the file, it's there.
Did you recently do a Windows update, one of the updates that came down and said, hi, there's updates ready for you?
Probably.
What OS are you running?
I'm running ME, which is not a real great one, I know, but...
Yeah.
But it even, it like, it's given me problems with my McAfee. I tried to...
Yeah, it's a pretty standard central. It's a pretty central DLL. It's basically the standard C library functions, and so many programs won't.
Oh, I can't run Works. I can't run Outlook.
Right.
And I've gone through. I've run Thorough Scan Disk, and I ran it in safe mode, and it told me there were no errors. And so I tried to run a defrag, and it came back and said, no, there's errors.
You should be able to, well, there's two ways you can get it.
Okay.
One is to pull it out of the support.cab file on your original disk.
Well, she said she searches the hard drive and it's there.
It's there.
Yeah, it's there, but it's probably damaged or corrupt or just a zero-size file.
It's there like 6 or 7 times. And I did go to the original software, I want to say, through the one that had the Microsoft Works file, because I thought, okay, well, if it won't open Microsoft Works, I'll uninstall, reinstall.
Mm-hmm.
That and get it to do it that way, and it's still I'm still having fits with it. It's like banging your head on a wall.
Right. There, you can download it off of the internet.
Okay.
If you really need to have it.
I've had a couple of machines like this in the last couple of weeks, and it was almost always immediately after a Windows update was applied and shut down, reboot. And you restore one of these DLLs that says it's missing, and then reboot again, and it's missing another one. What I eventually
don't hang up, Sue. Don't hang up. We'll come back to you after this break, and we'll have a couple answers for you with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick. Sue's on the line, and we'll be back with more sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Mourns the loss for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We have Sue from Gainesville on the line. Welcome back, Sue.
Thank you.
We have a couple of things that you can try.
Okay.
The first is... you can go to a site called dll-files.com.
Okay.
And you can from there look up this MSVCP60.dll and download it free.
Okay. Except for the fact that it's already on the computer.
Well, but we think what's happened is it's corrupted.
Okay.
So if you download it, it downloads as a zip file.
Gotcha.
So you have to unzip it.
Gotcha.
And then replace the one you currently have with this one.
All right.
That'll tell us if that indeed was the problem. Now, what we're thinking, Steve had a different idea.
Well, what may happen is when you reboot again, it's going to say there's another DLL missing, and you go find that one, and then another one missing, and you go find that one.
Okay.
What may be happening is the hard drive is beginning to fail, and it's losing track of where those files are.
Okay.
And in that case, you know, replacing the hard drive is about your best option.
Yeah.
Right.
First, though, when you download it, put it in a temporary directory. Then you can do a search of where this file, you know, should go.
Almost always they go in Windows System 32.
Yeah. It doesn't give me the option. When it comes up and tells me it couldn't find the file, it doesn't give me the option to go look for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's just looking in the Windows System 32 directory for all of those DLL type files.
Right.
But give that a shot, though, and let us know how you make out.
Okay.
All righty?
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Once you start losing the... And the problem, of course, is the registry is so fragile. It could be a registry error, too.
Yeah.
It could be that the DLL is fine, and in fact, it's the registry that's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, it's detective work, and that's the problem these days. Our next caller is William on a cell phone. William.
Hi.
You're pulled over on the side of the road, right?
Yes, sir. I'm doing it right now. I have an old Dell Inspiron, and it's on a docking station on XP.
Mm-hmm.
It's recently been just shutting down. It goes right completely. You know, it doesn't reboot. It just goes. Yeah, the hard drive about to go. It's a pretty old system.
And it shuts itself down randomly?
Yeah.
Does it say it's shutting down, or does it just power off?
Just gone. No, it doesn't give you any warning. It just shuts down completely.
There. Okay.
I switched out the power cable because I had a spare one. I thought maybe that was it. You know, the.
Is this machine like 4 or 5 years old?
Yeah.
Could be the battery.
Oh.
The batteries don't last forever.
Uh-huh.
And it's very possible that the battery itself is simply not holding a charge.
Okay.
And because it's damaged, it thinks it's holding a charge, and so it doesn't. You know, if you take a laptop and just run the battery down, it'll tell the system that it's about to shut down, and of course the system will tell you, and it'll save itself and it'll do all that stuff. But if the battery thinks it's good but is dead, you won't get a warning, and the thing will just shut.
Does it do it while it's plugged in?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, even so.
Yeah, but
some laptops,
well, here's
like
one thing you can do, though.
It has to have a good battery installed, or it won't even work off of AC.
But what he can try doing is popping the battery. As long as it's plugged into the docking station, they'll still boot to see if it
Right, and that'll tell, because some of them will work without the battery at all, and then you'll be able to tell if it doesn't happen then you know it's the battery.
Yeah, most of the companies tell you get about 500 charge cycles off your battery. Right. Well, actually, they don't tell you that because they don't want you to know it's that few.
Right, right.
Interesting. Is it difficult to change out or not?
No, it's,
No, the batteries are
particularly
easy.
Particularly in the Inspiron, there's a clip, and it pulls right out of the side, and then you just pop the new one in and close it. The tough part is, depending on the model, finding a new battery.
And a new battery is probably going to cost $100, $120 or more.
Really?
Yeah, they're not cheap.
I'm thinking I need a new system anyway, so.
There you go. Here's your chance.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Sure. Have a good time. Back on the road for William, and we're going all the way to the great Silver Lake to talk to Dick. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
I have a problem with Attleware.
First, I have to ask, how are things on Silver Lake?
They're pretty nice today. We just got through playing golf, and the sun's kind of halfway through the clouds, and it's pretty nice.
Yeah, you haven't been out on the lake much, though. It's probably still cold.
We're heading over there in a little while, and I doubt we'll be going swimming today.
Yeah. Okay, you've got an Attleware thing.
I got an Attleware thing. I've had Attleware, a couple of years, and I've used it in the Tango, and everything has seemed to work fine. And for some reason, the other weekend I decided I was going to update. I guess it's Attleware SE.
Yeah, it's been out for quite a while.
Okay, well, I uninstalled what I had, and then I went and I downloaded this.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I have tried to use it since, about 20 to 30 seconds into, once it starts, it freezes and locks up. And, it's not responding, and I have to close it out. And within that 20 to 30 seconds, sometimes it seems to be working fine. It actually is finding things.
Sometimes what OS are you running?
Pardon me?
What operating system?
Windows 98.
Okay. What you want to do is restart Windows. When it's rebooting, keep hitting the F8 key. And you're going to get a screen, and the third option is safe mode. Run Attleware in safe mode. It has the newer version does have some issues with running in regular Windows 98. So if you try running it in safe mode, a lot of other stuff doesn't get loaded and blocking it. And the newer version of Windows, or Attleware, will run no problem in safe mode. It should go through, find all the issues, reboot, and you should be good.
And a lot of times it is a spy program running that Attleware can't remove and get stuck on.
So give that a shot and let us know. Give us a call back.
All right, we're going to take another break. The magnificent but sometimes quirky Joan Brandenburg will be in to give us the news and information that you're all desperately waiting for. And then on the other side of that, we're going to have a whole lot more sound bites, including
and we got a special
guest. And so we'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. And we have a very, very special guest on the line with us. We have with us Mr. Charlie Connolly. Is it DeLorme or DeLorme?
DeLorme.
DeLorme. And he's from DeLorme, which is a company that deals with mapping software, GPS solutions, all that stuff. I'm sure you've heard of their stuff. They have stuff for the consumer, for the professionals. The Street Atlas USA is a product that a lot of people know about. Topo USA, 3D Topo Quads, all of that stuff.
The Street Atlas I've been using for literally years. And it's one of the products that I like, Charlie, that even when you guys have updates, they're there and they're free for the downloading. And, you know, finding locations and mapping stuff out. You folks, over the years, have just done so many features. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other stuff that you got going on there with the mapping software and that?
Well, as you've said, DeLorme has a variety of consumer products, and we also we're in the GIS market as well with our XMAP software.
Right.
DeLorme started out, I don't want to take you too far back to the beginning of time, but we started out in 1976. David DeLorme was dabbling in a number of different publishing opportunities, and he's an avid outdoors enthusiast, couldn't find decent back road maps for the state of Maine, so he created his own, the Maine Atlas and Gazetteer, which is a book of paper maps, and that's how the company got started. We now have Atlas and Gazetteer volumes for every state.
Cool.
And but along the way, David was looking for ways to store data for his paper maps, and was one of the earliest proponents of using CD-ROMs. And in looking for something to store his data, he soon realized that CD-ROM mapping would be a viable consumer product and something that would be very useful for people. And Street Atlas USA, the first version came out in, I believe, 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on version 2005 right now. And we have updated just about every year. We usually rev the product around Labor Day in that time frame. I believe it's going to be a little bit earlier this year, but that's the typical time frame, and that is our flagship software product.
Right. I have to tell you, it's amazing. I get lost in my own driveway, and that's not a joke. I just have no sense of direction, and the Street Atlas software is phenomenal to help me get places. I should probably get a GPS at some point, because I get lost. I get lost so easily.
We tried out their new GPS stuff, and you can have it on a laptop. And we literally mapped out a route. We were going from this point to that point. Set the laptop on the other seat and had the GPS going, and the thing talked to us. Turn coming up in a quarter, right-hand turn coming up. And it tells you when to turn and everything else. If you miss it, it tells you to go back.
I told you you should have turned right.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
It says it nicely, not like your wife would say it.
Well, that eliminates the wife, ever having to ask, aren't you going to stop to ask for directions? No,
exactly.
I've got it right here. Power.
It's funny you mentioned getting lost in your driveway. My daughter is something like that, and it's always been ironic because I've worked for a map company for 18 years, and she gets lost very easily. And I just bought her, for her college graduation, an EarthMate, which comes with Street Atlas USA. She's going to be traveling out west later this year, and I wanted her to feel safe and secure, that she'd always know where she is. And she's got a laptop, and, that's one worry I don't have anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking the I don't know what this it's Bluetooth, so it'll run with just about any PDA, right?
Well, no.
They've got a PDA version.
EarthMate is The current model is called the LT20, and LT stands for laptop. Now, we do have a Bluetooth solution, however. That's called the Blue Logger.
Right.
And that works very in a very similar way to the EarthMate. Has similar capabilities. Has some data logging capabilities over and above the EarthMate. It is a different product, but it certainly is a Bluetooth solution, and it works very well with Bluetooth-enabled PDAs as well as laptops.
Right. What I've been able to do with my PDA is literally, with the PDA version, map out a route and then put the that mapped out route down onto my PDA and pulls it up on the screen so I know right where to go.
Exactly.
And, it's great. You can zero out to where you see the whole U.S. and then zero right on down, zoom right in, down to the block. And it'll even tell you the different things that are around that corner that you can display, whether it's restaurants, churches, different organizations. Because, like on my street, it says Arby's.
Right.
And it's like, everybody said, what do you mean Arby's? Well, yeah, the Arby's headquarters is right down the street from me, and it's a building. It's not the restaurant. It's just the central headquarters for Arby's.
Right. And so if you're a business person and you have a meeting with Arby's, That's very helpful.
You know right where to go, and it'll give you the right directions and tells you what side of the street it is even on.
I need something that says, you missed the turn, and here's how you get back to where you should be.
Right. We call that our back-on-track feature, and it is a very useful feature.
Yeah.
I have to upgrade to this.
I mean, no guy that's doing any traveling with their family, whatever's have to hear the wife say, aren't you going to stop and ask for directions?
Right.
It eliminates it. Yeah. It literally eliminates it. And like I say, along with the way you folks, and which has been very impressive to me, is with neighborhoods constantly growing and everything else, that, you know, with just a couple clicks, you can go and get updated maps throughout the whole year.
Well, you know, one of the things that that is very useful about the program is it allows you to draw in new roads.
Yep.
And route on those roads. So it's not, you're not just drawing a line, you're incorporating something into the program that is that you will be able to use. So
right.
if they put in a new business park or housing development or whatever it might be, you can update the maps. And you know, a map is only as good as the day it was made. Time marches on, new roads are built, things change. But this gives you the ability to keep up with that flawlessly.
Well, one of the other features that I like, too, is say you're mapping a trip out from here down to, say, Virginia. You can sit there and select whether you want to do something that's very scenic or very or quick. So, in other words, you can say, show me the fastest route to get there, and it tells you, and it'll, like a AAA trip ticket, print it out to show you the fastest way or the most scenic way.
Right. You have the ability. There's a feature called vias in the routing tab that allow you to do. Well, for example, when I'm driving from Maine, which is where DeLorme is located, to Pennsylvania, where I grew up,
right.
I can route around New York City, where the program might think that's the quickest way to get me to where I want to go. I can route around that because I know, in fact, it's not going to be the quickest.
Yeah, I-95 through downtown Manhattan, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So there are, you know, features within the program that allow you to add flexibility for your own preferences.
Right. And one of the other neat things for the businesses out there is you have U.S. Census data that can be mapped.
Right.
So that you can correlate data from the census with a map of your area.
No, that's in our Street Atlas USA Plus program.
Right. Right. So I said for the business people.
Exactly.
People.
And that is the program that's aimed at the business people. Realtors are very, very big part of that. You know, the market for our product really crosses a lot of different lines. When we first started hearing from RVers, we were a little bit surprised, but, you know, it makes sense. These people have massive investments in their vehicles, and they don't want to be taking a wrong road that's going to be, you know, not appropriate for their vehicle or could cause it some damage, you know.
Right.
Truckers, we've mentioned business people, and obviously just everyday consumers who want to be able to get around as efficiently as possible.
Right. And some of that, you've also got the paper topographical maps.
Right, the Atlas and Gazetteer. And people will use our maps. They'll have the laptop running, and they'll have the Atlas and Gazetteer in the back seat map holder.
Right.
And they'll just reach back and grab it or, you know.
Well, it's a very cool set of products, and if you ever leave the house and venture out into the big blue room, this is exactly the product you
it
need
is.
To help you get somewhere. It's an amazing array of products.
One thing I need to ask, though, is your Mac version hasn't been updated in many years. When are you going to update that?
Well, I wish I could give you the answer you want to hear, but unfortunately the Mac market was never robust enough for us to, you know, to pour the resources into it that we need to do.
Yeah, and probably
I know you hate hearing that, believe me, but
that's the way life goes.
And I suspect the same will always be true of the Linux version as well. You don't even have one.
Correct.
And that's too bad. But, well, we'll see. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, a couple of smaller companies have picked up on it, but it's nice to be able to do the big main street atlas that everyone knows.
Well, this has been phenomenal, Charlie. And for those of you who are interested in this sort of product, it's a great product. You can get it at DeLorme.com. That's DeLorme.com, and the link will be up on Soundbites.
Already is.
And I really want to thank you very, very much, Charlie, for joining us today and talking a little bit about the DeLorme software.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, sir.
Have fun. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Bill from Canandaigua, Gary from Greece, and a whole bunch of other people, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Wham's Bob Lonsberry. Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in just a minute, but before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll, 370 of you voted, making it number 57 in the all-time hit list. The question was, what is your primary phone? Not surprisingly, the overwhelming answer was a standard landline followed by a cell phone. What surprised me is that VoIP or internet phone actually beat out both tin cans and string and the Force.
Ooh.
but VoIP actually came in at 7%, which is higher than I expected it to be. VoIP is, of course, internet phone, voice over IP. It's an internet phone. And more people are opting for that solution as their primary phone line.
Time Warner and Frontier's advertising has been paying off.
Yes, and and it's an excellent solution in a lot of ways. There are, like we said, a couple of caveats, but in general, it's an excellent solution. And I'm very interested in seeing that... That more people are doing it. This week's question, there is another anti-spyware bill wending its merry way through Congress right now. It's actually been passed by, I believe, the House, yes, and has to go on. It's been passed by the House and now is moving on to the Senate. This is the SPY Act, Securely Protect Yourself Against Cyber Trespass, authored by Representative Mary Bono. Of Sonny Bono.
For our modern day audiences, that would be Bono from U2.
No, I don't think she's related to Bono at all. I think it's Bono from the old Sonny and Cher days. Sonny Bono requires a conspicuous notice to users before transmitting spyware. Right now, of course, you can get spyware. Loaded along with semi-legitimate software. Thank you. You got me, babe. that wasn't actually Sonny. I just want everybody to know that.
Sure.
That was Cher. The right now you can get spyware pretty easily. You download something that you think is a real cool program, and as part of the end user license agreement that nobody ever reads, it says, oh, and by the way, we're loading all this other junk on your system. Is that okay? And if you select accept, then you get all this other stuff. What this act says is that you have to make it a little more obvious that you're doing that. And it focuses on penalties, which makes it a crime to intentionally access a computer without authorization.
Wait a
minute. Causing code to be copied onto the computer and using it for malicious purposes.
All right, so they pass this law.
Well, the problem...
It's like one hand clapping.
Yeah. The problem is you never should write a law that you cannot enforce.
Bingo!
Because it just weakens the whole concept of law. But anyway, the whole thing here, the poll question is, the anti-spyware bill now in Congress will be incredibly effective, or, oh, please! Which was as close as I could get to doing it. So far, 93% of you think, oh, please! And only 4 of you think it will be incredibly effective, and it's good to see that that kind of naivete is still in existence in America. Once you're done with that, you'll see a yellow box under the poll. Head on over to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
No!
Thank you. where you can add a little bit more opinion to that and see what say something clean, I hope, on how you would handle spyware writers. Then, of course, come back to the Soundbite site and join all the very cool people in the forums. Some of the neatest people on earth are in those forums, and you should join them and get your questions answered and have a little fun at the same time. We're going to go back to the phones now. We're going to talk to Bill from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
It's about the software for the Kodak digital camera. I got a Kodak digital camera for Christmas.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's quite nice. And I took a few pictures, had a little irritation from the fact that it seemed to, the software, when I try to put the things from my camera via a USB cable into the computer, it works okay, but it also gathers in copies of all the other non-tech stuff on my computer. But my main problem and concern is, I had occasion to have to essentially reformat the most of my hard disk, the large part. And so I went to put the Kodak software back in, and it rejected it using the CD that came with the camera. It worked fine, you know, the first time I used it.
But what error message did you get?
Beg pardon?
What error message did you get?
What internet?
No.
What error message? When you went to install...
I don't recall, and I'll tell you the truth.
Okay, that makes it a little harder for us to figure out what the problem is. I would suggest attempting to reinstall it and writing down the error message if it happens again. There are about 100,000 reasons that the software could have been rejected. It could be that there's not enough memory. It could be that you're missing some other piece of software. It could be that the CD was damaged.
He could have spyware or viruses on there. If he just reloaded everything, and if he hasn't installed his antivirus software, got that up, it got it installed and updated, he could have some viruses on there.
Right.
And
in general,
else.
Anytime you install the operating system clean or even reinstall, you need to run the whole security tango. That's at securitytango.com before you do anything else to assure that your system is both clean and protected.
You can also go to Kodak's website and download the current version of their EasyShare software.
That's yep. Another part of the problem is that it's very possible that when he redid his operating system, if he did some of the updates...
Or if he didn't do some of the updates,
right,
yeah, Kodak
exactly.
needs.
Exactly. So I would try all of those things, Bill, and see if those solve the problem, because I think that's going to be what we need to start with. And then call us back and let us know if that did the trick or
yeah,
didn't.
Without,
and if there is an error message, write it down.
We need that to move forward.
Yeah. Right.
Hang on. Going back to what you mentioned a bit earlier, did you say that was Mary Bono from California?
That
she's also involved with our local Louise Slaughter, Democrat, New York, in petitioning Congress for a e-waste disposal law. They've introduced a bill to standardize on electric waste, electronic and computer waste disposal rules, so that companies that have offices in more than one country, state, can standardize on how they're being disposed of. And
hardware-wise,
yeah.
All the toxic stuff.
And they're saying that about 10 million computers a year end up in essentially landfills with all the toxic chemicals inside of them.
Yep. Yeah.
So apparently this Mary Bono is pretty big, although she's the fourth one in the list. Louise Slaughter is apparently the principal sponsoring the bill.
She's become quite the activist.
Yeah.
She took over her husband's spot when he
passed
on, and she's done some amazing stuff. Our next caller is Lance on a cell phone. Welcome, Lance. You pulled over to the side of the road, right?
Well, how do? I'm in a friend's driveway while my wife is inside talking to her.
That's good.
Two questions. One is, I subscribed to Ask Nick...
Thank you.
3 weeks ago, and as of May 7th, it had not been returned to the bank.
Oh, and, the check? The check?
So you didn't answer my question. How to get rid of Internet Explorer?
You cannot.
McAfee required, and now I can't get rid of it.
You cannot get rid of Internet Explorer. You cannot run it. But it will always be on your system. Microsoft has wound it so deeply into the operating system, they say it cannot be removed. Of course, they are removing it for sale, for Windows sales over in Europe, because Europe required it or they were going to stop selling Windows. So they did remove it there, but here apparently they cannot remove it. It is part of the operating system and it can't go away. All you can do is simply not run it.
You can
set
remove
up Firefox or whatever as your standard browser, but you can't actually remove Internet Explorer.
You can
from
remove
the
icon from the desktop so you don't accidentally click on it.
I removed it from the start menu. I removed it with the add remove programs. And the reason I'm asking is partly that I'm afraid of it, and partly I think it is keeping my monitor from turning itself off. It's got a timer built in the monitor that if it doesn't get any action for 5 minutes or 10, it goes blank.
Right.
It goes the power to the monitor and flashes a green light to let me know it's off. As soon as I move the mouse or something, it comes back on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I can't get rid of the... And I presume it's Internet Explorer that is...
No.
Well, that's kind of unlikely.
Unless
that's
so
power
much,
management.
Well, unless there's so much spyware running that Internet Explorer keeps popping up new windows.
Well, I've run through the Tango, and that didn't clear it.
But did the Tango programs find problems? Or did it say you were clean? When you ran Adware and SpyBot, did it clear problems, or did it say you were clean?
Well, I ran SpyBot and Adware and so forth, but maybe I should run them again.
But it also
keep running it until it says no problems found.
It's also possible that it's a hardware issue. You have
a what?
Hardware issue, because generally speaking, these things are more concerned.
Well, I tell you.
I'm sorry.
I did make it work a few times when I deleted stuff, but and then it comes back.
Lance, it's likely that the problem is actually not the software at all, but is in fact a mouse problem.
Or he can look in the control panel under his energy settings.
Right, and see if in fact that's been turned off somehow.
Yeah.
But if it hasn't been turned off in the energy settings, then the problem could be a mouse. Often enough, we find that many people, when the mouse gets dirty, there's a minute little jiggle to the mouse, and that prevents the system from going into that energy-saving mode because it thinks somebody's sitting there wiggling the mouse. So what you need to do is make sure that your mouse is clean and that if it's a wireless mouse, it's not being interfered with by something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because often enough, stray radio signals...
Cell phones
or those... wireless telephones will actually cause the thing to think that it's a mouse movement because they all run on the same frequency, unfortunately, and that's part of the problem. So it's unlikely to be Internet Explorer. I would start with the mouse itself because that's the most common problem. Our next caller is Jim from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I have a couple questions, actually.
Yes.
If I wanted to make website templates for... website, What program would you recommend for me to use?
Well, it depends on the program you're using to create the websites. For example, if I create a program, a template in Dreamweaver, it's not very useful in
Go Live
or in the Microsoft one. That
Front Page. Don't use Front Page.
Don't use Front Page.
Everyone
anyway.
Will thank you if you
but
don't
the,
use
but
Front
the
Page.
But the program, the thing you want to use, what are you using now as your web writing tool?
Well, I was using Front Page.
Okay. Well, you want to stop that.
Let's explain why. Front Page creates very bloated and slow running code.
They're very much better than they used to be.
And quite often it limits your browser use. Someone has to be running Internet Explorer to go to a Front Page website.
Right.
Which is bad.
In the day when Microsoft had 95% of the market, that was fine. But they don't anymore, and so you don't want to turn people away just because they're using a different browser. So you really want to take a look at one of the other products on the market. But in general, when you create a web template, you want to create it in the product you're using to write your web code. Otherwise, you're going to miss features or it's just not going to be recognized at all.
Okay.
Okay. What's your other question?
When I do that, what operating system would you recommend? XP, Mac, or Linux?
It depends on what else you're going to do with your system. All three of those operating systems have excellent web writing tools. We've mentioned the ones under Windows. Under Linux, there's KDevelop, there's NView, there's a whole bunch of others like that. Under the Mac?
Well, the same big two, GoLive and Dreamweaver.
Right.
And there's a lot of smaller ones, Page Spinner and Web Spider, something like that, that aren't the $400 price tag of the commercial web authoring tools.
Right. So
Wasn't there one on the PC side called Hot Dog?
That was Coffee Cup.
Or Coffee Cup.
Coffee Cup has a bunch as well. So
Really,
there's no one that's better than any of the others. What is important? I take that back. You want to be able to test out your code in multiple
environments
in multiple web browsers. Under Windows, you can run Internet Explorer. In fact, that's the only one you can run Internet Explorer in. And you do want to test your code under Internet Explorer. So in many ways, that's the best one. The problem is now you can't. I don't know of a Windows-based browser that uses the KHTML code that's the basis of Safari and Conqueror. So I'm not entirely sure how you hit all three.
Yeah.
You can hit Firefox and Opera and Internet Explorer all on the PC side. You can hit Firefox and Opera and Conqueror on the Linux side. You can hit Safari and Internet Explorer on the Mac side, but you can't
and
hit
Firefox,
all and Firefox, but you can't hit all of them on every platform. So
one
that's
an
interesting problem.
One advantage of getting the Mac is that you don't have to worry about the spyware and viruses and all that stuff.
Right.
But you can get a Windows emulator and run Windows on your Mac if you do need to test the actual Windows code. But then in that Windows environment, you have to worry about the Windows spyware and viruses and all that stuff anyway.
Right.
So it's
Have fun with it. Let us know how you make out, okay?
Yeah, it's an interesting question and an interesting problem. Great.
I think we got to take a break.
New music. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Dreamweaver.
With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, I don't even know what he's thinking, Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Apparently, I'm cheap.
Oh, yes,
I'm Bob Linton.
We're really. I do wish that there were a way we could.
Yeah, people are like, what?
We could legally air the stuff we do during the break. Right. It's just quite amazing. Yeah. Our next caller is Bob on a cell phone. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I had a problem with my phone lines, I guess, a couple of days ago. My phones weren't working, and I have regular dial-up internet connection with AOL 9.0. So what I did is, what the phone company just tells you to do, is disconnect all the phones and all the outlets, and then wait a few moments to plug them all back in. I did that along with the connection to the computer, plug them back in. My computer, for some reason now, it is not able to find the connection for AOL 9.0.
Yeah. When you say you had a problem with your phone line, was that by any chance a lightning strike?
I don't believe so. I don't believe there.
Yeah, we had our first lightning storm of the season.
Pardon me?
We had our first lightning storm of the season the other day. We had torrential rain and hail and downpour out
and
in Mendon.
It was biblical out in Henrietta.
I'm up north, south by Greece.
Yeah.
But the thing that is, though, is your modem might have gotten zapped.
Yeah, whatever took out your phone line may have taken out your modem, too.
Okay, so I may have a bad modem now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Is it saying no dial tone or no modem found?
It's not saying no modem. It's just saying unable to find the connection.
Do you hear it dialing and getting the dial tone?
No, it's not dialing.
Yeah.
I think you might have popped the modem.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fairly easy. Can you repair then?
Yeah, you can pop out and pop a new one in. Because normally when it goes to do it, you should hear it, you know, if you got the speaker turned up, hear the dial tone, and then it's starting to dial the number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Alrighty.
Thanks. And let us just use that as a cautionary tale to the rest of you. We are coming into thunderstorm season.
Yep.
That means that there are going to be those times when your system will be susceptible to lightning strikes. Remember, lightning tries to hit things that are long wires, and one of those
tall
long wires on tall poles would be, the phone line.
And
so if you've got a phone line, you can buy a...
we mentioned earlier the UPSs.
Right.
Yeah. You can get, for about $100, you can get a combination UPS that runs your computer off battery, and it has a modem protector on it and a coax cable line protector on it, because you also have to worry about your cable TV lines coming through if you're running cable internet. If you're running DSL internet, then you want to put the phone line through the protector as well from the DSL.
Right. Right. So you want to be very careful of all that and make sure that you've got everything protected, because we're really coming to the point where, you know what, it's $150. That seems like a lot of money, but how much did you spend on your computer? And what are you willing to spend to keep from having to buy a new computer?
Well, like I say, you know, it's like the old Pram oil filter commercial. They can pay me now or pay me later.
That's right. That's exactly right. Our next caller, Jeff. From Canandaigua, New York. This is like the 18th call from Canandaigua today, I think. All right, maybe the third. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I have a quick Thunderbird question.
Sure.
I'm trying to get rid of spam, and I've switched over to Thunderbird on my laptop and on my home computer. I'm just trying to set that up now, and I can't get when I migrated users or imported the user information, it only imported the, as far as I can tell anyway, it only imported the main account information. And I can't find anything on Thunderbird to switch users, and I can't find a way of importing the other users from Outlook Express.
Sometimes the program is more designed to run one account in the email program, and then you make a new Windows user for another user account.
I'm running
because Eudora was like that. It was really tricky to get a second account in Eudora.
But under Thunderbird, what happens when you install it? It comes up and gives you a choice of what you want to get, but only the top one is checked. It looks and finds all the things on your system, but only one is checked. If you didn't check the others, they aren't going to come in.
Now the big question is, how does he get those other
things? As an option.
Can you rerun that setup program?
Well, when you go to set up a new user, and I'm just hesitating right now. I'm killing time because I'm loading Thunderbird even as we speak, and this laptop is both old and slow, much like me. And so I'm just waiting for it. Thank you very much. Just waiting for it to start. Okay, here we go.
There should be a way to say new account and then import.
Well, that's what. Here we go. Import. There is an import button. There we go. There we go. Under tools, there's an import button. You can import address books, mail, or settings.
I did that, and it still only brought in the one account.
But you do it again for the next account, and again for the next account.
Okay.
So you pick the accounts you're going to bring in. I don't have any other accounts in the system, so I can't.
I'm sorry, Dave. Just squished his glasses. One thing it may be, do you have in your Outlook Express, is it multiple email accounts in a single user, or is it multiple users?
multiple email accounts in a single user.
Okay, there goes my theory. What I was thinking is that you might have to open Outlook Express and switch to the other user before Thunderbird sees there's a different user.
Right.
No, try doing that.
Yeah, or, that should do it, but you have to pick who you're going to do.
One other thing he could do.
But you're saying it's not even showing those other user accounts.
What if he goes into Outlook, exports...
Well, that's the long way around.
Yeah, but it'll work.
At the bottom
if you export each one of those accounts out to a different folder, and then through Thunderbird, go to that folder to import the new settings for each one of those accounts. I mean, it's a long way around it, but since you didn't check them the first time, you know, if you go about it that way, first export all, you know, the other accounts out, maybe export them to three different folders, then go into Thunderbird... Go into the tools like Nick was saying, import, and you point it to each one, one at a time, each one of those folders, and try setting up the accounts that way.
Okay.
Give it a shot and let us know.
All right.
There's also an FAQ on Thunderbird on the Thunderbird website, and there's some information there at mozilla.org/support/thunderbird/FAQ, and Steve will have a link up. On that in just a minute or two, and one of the things it talks about is migrating multiple accounts. So you want to take a look at how they suggest you do that from there. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, John from Penfield, John on a cell phone, me and Nick Francesco live on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you missed questions, back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is John from Penfield, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yeah, my son's got an IBM T41 running Windows XP, and he's got it on our wireless network in the house, and about 4 days ago it stopped connecting, and it won't connect now either wireless or with a cable.
What you might want to try doing, there's one, is he up to date on all his spyware and virus protection?
Yeah, and I ran Security Tango.
Does it see the network and not connect to it, or does it not see the network?
It sees the network, and it says the connection has limited or no connectivity, and it's not picking up an IP address.
You've reset everybody shut everything down, shut the router down, and tried rebooting everything up?
Yeah, and I've been able to hook other computers up.
All right, then what you might want to do is there's a utility, and it's listed on our website. It's called WinIP Fix. And what it is a little utility that you put on his desktop. You can copy it to a disk, download it on one of the other machines, put it onto disk, copy it onto his desktop, and run it. What it does is clear out the TCP/IP configuration settings, you reboot the machine, and quite often, I'd say over 80% of the time, that usually fixes the problem.
If you connect the laptop with a hard wire, you can also see if that works. Whether
you said it didn't connect. So that's why we think it's the stack as opposed
the
to
stack.
A hardware problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
So give that a shot and let us know.
Absolutely. Our next caller is Troy from Webster, New York. Welcome, Troy. What's your question?
No, that was Rochester, but...
Oh, Rochester.
Yes.
Well, that's Rob.
I have two quick questions, actually.
Sure.
First one is, I know C++, and I'm thinking about learning C#, but
yeah.
What's really the difference? I know they're in no way connected, but what's really the difference between the two?
The C# is a language that was originated by Microsoft.
Oh.
And it's...
And it's
tell you really
based
feel.
On C++, but it has a lot of extensions in it specifically for Windows programming. What we're finding as a trend in the industry, it's specifically used for .NET.
Okay.
.NET,
which is going away, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. It doesn't seem to be in Longhorn, which it was supposed to be. And so I'm not entirely certain of the future of .NET and therefore of C# as a programming language. So I would suggest if you feel the desperate need to learn a new language, right now it's Java.
Yeah.
Okay, and what was your other question?
The other question was I'm setting up a network for my aunt, and she had a Mac and two PCs. I brought my router over there, and for some reason it connected for a short period of time, and then it wouldn't work for the Mac.
Okay.
Well, you know, that depends on why it wouldn't work. Generally, you go to the TCP system preference and see if you're getting an address. If you're not, it might be that the cable's not connected tight. Try creating a new location and putting in the new address, whether you're using DHCP in the router, which is most common, or whether it's a manual IP address. Try a different Ethernet cable. So there's a lot of different things it can be. There's nothing inherently different about how the Mac connects to a network versus a PC.
All right. Excellent. Well, the music tells me that we're done for another week. I want to thank... My time just flies. I want to thank everybody who called in. Apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Call in early and often starting next week. That's, I guess, the way that goes. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. Please join us on Soundbites. Answer the poll. Go on over to AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And leave your opinion. We, of course, will be back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel. I believe that Dr. Enright will not be joining us next week. That's okay. And we'll be seeing you next week on Soundbites on 1180. WHAM.
If you're searching for a vehicle that's both practical and sporty, then accelerate over to Vincent Mazda, one half mile south of Route